May Jesus bless you with his peace. I'm Father Matthew Krempel at St. Mary Roman Catholic Church, Kingman, Arizona, anticipating the 4 o'clock Saturday evening Mass in anticipation of the third Sunday of the Paschal Feast on this ninth day of April 2016, liturgical cycle year C. First reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verses 27 to 32, 40b to 41, Psalm 30, the book of Revelations, chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, the Gospel according to St. John, verses 21, chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. Praise the Lord.
The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered, "No." So Jesus said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Now Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to Jesus, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger and used to dress yourself and go where you wanted, But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this, signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And when he had said this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. As we continue to celebrate the Paschal season, our Gospels necessarily bring up the various apparitions of Jesus after his death and resurrection from the dead. To show himself to the apostles, that they will not have any doubt that he is alive, but so that the apostles themselves will be able to pass on their experience, their testimony. We have seen the Lord. So, as we learned last Sunday, that those who do not see but believe are certainly blessed. And that puts us in the camp of those who have not seen but believe. Besides all the events that happen here, the apostles going out to fish and not catching anything, and then Jesus being on the shore of the sea just as the sun comes up and they're having breakfast, there's one point, one phrase here in this gospel that I often use for an examination of conscience, and which I also then offer to you. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, it's easy for us to say, well, Peter denied Jesus three times, so of course he had to make up for his denial by having Jesus ask him three times, "Do you love me?" But for us, to carry this question around is one that keeps us honest and hopefully pure of heart. Do you love me more than these? Can you hear Jesus asking you that question when you're about to go to sleep, when you get up in the morning, when you have to go through the usual routine of life, whatever that may be, saying to yourself, "Well, I did this yesterday, I'll do it again today and tomorrow, so what makes it different? How can I make this day more interesting so that I don't get too bored?" Whatever our circumstance in life is, this question, I believe, makes us mature in our relationship with the Lord. Young people, high school kids, grade school kids, can ask themselves this question when they're asked by their parents to say their night prayers or their morning prayers, and they don't feel like it. The parents should ask, "Are you willing to love Jesus more than anybody else?" When kids do not want to learn Catholic doctrine, the parents should remind them, You are to love Jesus with your whole mind, heart, soul, and strength. Do you not want to love him more than anyone else? By knowing your Catholic faith, you will love him even more. Same way for us adults. We can never say that we know our Catholic faith. We can never say that we reached spiritual perfection and we can just kind of float from here on out. No, the question is there. Do you love me more than these? And we need to make comparisons. More than what? More than whom? In this case, more than the other apostles, Jesus asked Simon. But for us, more than any other family member? More than any friend? Do we love Jesus more than anything else in the world? We all want to hear the words from someone, "I love you." And though we may feel a little shy, we try to reciprocate, saying in return, "And I love you." If we need to hear that, and we need to hear it often, and not just the words, but also the actions of that love put into life, how much more so Jesus? We speak of his Sacred Heart. We speak of his divine mercy. Doesn't that tell us that his heart is tender and needing to be loved? He seeks our love as he seeks the love of Simon Peter and the other apostles. What has happened in your life so far? And what sticks out where you might have a tendency to question God and say, "I don't think you were fair, Lord. You did this to me. You separated me from a family member that I love through death. I prayed for healing. Nothing happened." Isn't not Jesus then saying, "Do you love me more than that, than your spouse? Than your brother or sister? Do you love me more than the child that I allowed to die and I took into my arms?" Doesn't Jesus want to hear us say back to him, "Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Then feed my lambs. Don't complain. Stop criticizing me. Stop being angry with me. Stop raising your fist as though I were an iron man and had no feelings. Many people have fear of making any commitment. The missionaries that we've had, all of them, every time they arrived, I asked them, "And so, are you going to be priests?" "Oh yeah, we're not sure." "Well, how old are you?" "Well, I'm 25. "I'm 28. I'm 30. "And you don't know what you want to do with your life?" "Well, I'm not sure." And I would challenge them, "Where's your love for Jesus? What are you afraid of?" Not by choice, but because there are so many these days. Some of the people I associate with and have some sort of a friendship are living with a woman, or she with a man, and they don't want to get married. But they're in their late 30s. In some cases, they have a few children. And I say, "What's going on? What are you afraid of? What is the lack of love that prevents you from saying, 'I will live with you until death do us part'? Why is that so hard? What is the escape hatch we want?" And looking for that escape hatch keeps us immature, keeps us from being full of grace, keeps us from a relationship from Jesus. It stifles us. There is no growth and no perfection. So yes, we look at all the people around us who are afraid to make commitments, and they're trying to justify, well, I love just as much as anybody else. No, you don't. No, you do not. You have this fear of commitment. You have a fear of loving Jesus. You have a fear of worshiping God. You have a fear of being committed to the church. And as St. John says in his first letter, where there is fear, there is no love. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Again, I offer you this question as an examination of conscience every day. During Lent, I offered you the question, do you promise to grow closer to Jesus each day of your life? The question that we priests are given when we are ordained. Now the question is, Jesus talking to us, do you love me more than these? And maybe you're not ready to say yes. But let's begin to try. It'll change our lives. It'll make you holy as God is holy. Mm-hmm.